Good morning. Welcome to Laurel Heights. I hope you have your Bible ready to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Every year about this time, I deliver a sermon. Seems to me to be suitable for the season and for all the activity that many of us are involved in. And I call this, for lack of a more clever title, the Back to School Sermon. This one is different. See, children going to school not only involves children and teachers and school supplies and clothes and transportation and school supplies, sports and band and all that. There's another primary focus we need to have in mind every time we come to this point in the year, and that is the primary role of parents in all of this. Maybe there is a need for parents to be addressed about this time of year. Maybe it is the case that we have their attention about their responsibilities to their children. I still want children to listen to this, but I want to address parents today, beginning here in Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I want to start this morning by making a few basic observations about that. And then there will be three specific points for our attention, everybody, and for parents in particular. God is concerned with every human relationship. He is the creator of humans and the creator of human relationships, and He has defined them. And so, for example, the husband-wife relationship, God is concerned about. He instituted that, and God has spoken about that important relationship and the attitudes and actions and reactions that should be a part of that relationship to keep it where it ought to be. Equally, God is concerned about the parent-child relationship. And here in Ephesians and in other places, God speaks clearly to both sides of the relationship. He speaks to children and He speaks to parents. The first thing we see is children are to be obedient to their parents, honoring them. This is God's way. Then in verse 4, fathers are singled out. Fathers are addressed in their leadership capacity. First of all, they are warned, do not provoke your children to anger. Be careful how you speak to your children. Be careful what you say to your children and what impression that word or phrase will mean to them in the future. Guard how you treat your children. They are precious. Consider carefully and review how you praise them and how you love them and hold them close. Let nothing about discipline cause you to provoke your children to anger. Then there is a positive imperative. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, this is all very simple, don't you think? There's no theological complexity to unravel here. There's nothing that requires hours of research and definition into the biblical languages and the nuances of the translations. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Parents, this is what God says to you. Love them, hold them dear, do not provoke them to wrath while you bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Based on this teaching and other passages I'll bring up, I want to highlight this morning three common mistakes most parents make. Can I ask you to listen to the title one more time? Three common mistakes most parents make. Now, in doing this, I'm not asking you to consider me as a perfect parent or as an expert. I will sadly admit there are wise approaches and insight from Scripture I realize I did not apply with good consistency when I was raising my three children. Do not think of me as speaking to you from some superior place in this regard. But in studying Scripture and making simple, unassuming observations, I think we all recognize there are some common mistakes. And those need to be brought to our attention periodically from Scripture through the pulpit so that we can do better, so that we can change. People of faith understand through Scripture we can be corrected. We can repent. We can be forgiven. We can do better in all of areas of life, parenting in particular. So with that in mind, I want to call attention to what I'll refer to as three common mistakes most parents make. And I'm going to ask you for the first point to have your Bible ready in 1 Samuel. I'll take you there in just a moment in 1 Samuel. Number one, information without enforcement. Information without enforcement. I don't have any doubt that most parents give their children information. I don't have any doubt that most parents set up and communicate to their children certain rules to follow. Do this and don't do that. They inform their children in various ways of expected behavior. And I think most parents inform their children of what constitutes misbehavior. Boundaries you are not to cross. I hear parents all the time saying to their children, don't do that. Do this. And parents are often heard saying to their children, I want you to do this, behave this way, engage in this duty. But a common mistake is to provide information but without any enforcement. There is information. Do's and don'ts and boundaries you're not to cross. Maybe there is stern admonition and expressions of irritation, even perhaps at some volume. But I'm saying often what is missing is enforcement, an absence of consequences. We live in a time when free-range parenting seems to be popular. But in many cases, it isn't working. And as children grow into their teens and adulthood, it may become even clearer that early, consistent discipline was not applied. And now the child must make his way into maturity without having that advantage. There was this priest in the time when Samuel was a young man. His name was Eli. I'm going to read you something from 1 Samuel chapter 2 here in a minute. When you read about him, there is much to admire. In our first contact with Eli, we think him to be a good man. Seems like he knows the will of God, and we consider him to be a man with a mind that is focused on what God wants. But listen to what is reported about his sons in 1 Samuel 2:12. Are you open to that? 1 Samuel 2:12. Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. And it says next, they did not know the Lord. And this is followed by a vivid description of their irreverence, an example of it. Their complete lack of honor and respect for God was obvious in their conduct. And I take you now to verse 22. Now Eli was very old, and he kept hearing all that his sons were doing to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who were serving at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Now, stop here. If you are a parent and you receive these reports about your children, how do you respond? There isn't any doubt these boys had been taught. They knew this was wrong. They had the information from their youth. So you have taught them what is right. They're not responding to that information. My question is, if you are the parent of these boys, how do you respond? Do you do nothing? Do you laugh at this behavior? Do you just roll your eyes and say, boys will be boys? What do? You know the answer. You set your mind to the task of restraining these boys as best you can. You enforce the rules you gave. You get up. It'll require action. You get up and take action for their sake, for your sake, and for the sake of their victims, and for the Lord's sake. You can't let it pass. But look with me back into the text now and find 1 Samuel 3:13, which is God's judgment against the house of Eli. It says, "And I declare to him that I'm about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them." It was information without enforcement. Eli's fault was not that he didn't teach them or admonish them. Back in 1 Samuel 2:23, Eli yelled at them. But he didn't do anything in the way of discipline and consequences and restraint. And for that, his house received God's judgment. The Bible is providing us an example for parents to avoid. It is really this simple. After you tell your children what their duty is and what you expect, you have to follow through with consistent responses that restrain them and train them. It is for their good. It is for the good of everybody they will interact with the rest of their life. And God has said you have the responsibility to do it, to raise them in the nurture and admonition of His will. Children must be disciplined and restrained, and that means information about what's right and wrong, along with enforcement. We have a number of school teachers here at Laurel Heights who will be back in the classroom in a few days, and some of them perhaps already. They will tell you that if children are never disciplined at home, or if children are not consistently disciplined in other places, Not only will those children suffer loss in the classroom, they make it difficult for the well-disciplined kids, and they make it difficult for the teachers. Starting when they are toddlers, children need not only information, but along with it, discipline, enforcement, restraint. They were given to you by God, and God has told you what to do. To train and teach and discipline with love and justice. It is not a stretch to imagine old Eli in his 90s, almost blind, thinking back, a heart torn by regret. And he is saying to himself, if only I had taken more time to correct those boys, to restrain them and train them and raise them, if I could only do it over again, Lord. I would not only inform them of right and wrong, I would enforce what I said, I would discipline, I would be consistent, but for Eli, it was too late. What a depressing end of life for Eli. The Ark of the Covenant had been taken by the Philistines. The boys were killed in battle, and in biblical history they were known and are known today as corrupt men. It is not too late for you, young parents. The energy to be consistent and to restrain and discipline will never be regretted. You will never be out there in your 90s and say, I wish I had just let them run free. No. The free-range parenting model is not the biblical pattern at all. God says in Proverbs, do not withhold discipline from the child. Proverbs 23:13-15. In Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. The right information must be accompanied by consistent follow-through, enforcement, and just discipline. And the idea here is not to break a child and provoke a child to anger or embitter him or her. It is the highest expression of love to get your children ready to serve God the rest of their lives. Number two, the secular without the spiritual. Raise them up, God said through Paul, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, not the world. The Lord. We see parents making certain their children have everything they can possibly provide. There are parents who will borrow money to make certain their kids have computers and iPads and phones and video equipment, accessories, and the latest games. Then making certain that in the educational setting they have all the advantages. They want the best teachers and the best classes, and then they want the top college and the best scholarships. Most parents I know invest money in the lives of their kids long after their kids become adults. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that's all wrong. I'm not going to arrogantly recommend that you need to completely remove the secular, reject the material aspects of life, and ignore their public education. That's not my point. My question is, where is our balance? Where is our balance? I was in Walmart yesterday. I was in the aisle where school supplies are located. I was almost crushed by the stampede. I wonder how many of them are going to Barnes & Noble to buy their children their first Bible. How many of them will read the Bible with their children? How many of them will help their children get their Bible class lesson? Where are the spiritual priorities? It is sometimes the case that children have technical skills and can speak two or three languages, and they are honor students and champions in sports, but they don't know the difference between an apostle and an epistle. They can hack into an Android or an iPad, but they couldn't tell you what the Bible says about worship or salvation or the church. I was at a place one time in a meeting, and I was invited to dinner with a family. A man, his wife, and a young man who had been away in college, and he was home for a couple of weeks. And the father explained to me that the young man had never obeyed the gospel. He was not a Christian. The young man came in for dinner, and he engaged his father in detailed, lengthy conversation about basketball. They knew all the players and the standings and the dates of the playoffs, and you could tell this was a part of their bonding. They loved to talk about basketball. After the meal, the wife was working back in the kitchen. The young man left to go to his room, and the father confided in me. He said, "My son has never obeyed the gospel." And I said to the father, "When you talk to him about the gospel, what does he say?" The father just hung his head. He had no reply. See, he had talked to his son for years about basketball, but had never brought up the subject of the Lord and what the Lord requires. If we give our kids all the world has to offer and we bond with them in all the secular and the sports and the entertainment, but we don't talk to them about God, we have failed. Where is our emphasis? What priorities do we have in raising these children God gave us? Do we see that they get their homework every night, but do nothing at all about their Bible class work? Maybe not even bring them to the Bible class. One common mistake is to load your children with the world, the secular, the temporary stuff, without giving them what they need from God to be ready to die someday. Number three, principles without example. Do you remember what the Lord said about the corrupt Pharisees in Matthew 23, verse 3? He said, "So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do, for they preach and do not practice." They often spoke exactly what God's Word said, but without doing what God's Word said, the Pharisees. We are all familiar, therefore, with that expression, "not practicing what you preach." Are there parents who are guilty of this? Are there mothers who tell their children not to use foul language, and they speak the very words they tell their children not to use? Are there fathers who preach and warn and threaten their teenage boys about alcohol while having a drink in their hands? Do we convey the right principles to our children verbally, but we fail to exemplify those principles in day-to-day life? Yes, that is a problem. To be confronted with the greatest sense of urgency about your children and realize that you're talking to them correctly, but you're not living with them the example they need to see. From the day children are born, they watch their parents more than anyone else. You are their first visual. You're their first picture of adults. You are their first video. And they are learning how to speak and act and respond and relate to people by observing your conduct. In innocent areas, you will often see mimicking. A little girl trying to dress like her mother. A little boy trying to do things his daddy does and wear the boots his daddy wears. Used to, you might see a father mowing the lawn and right behind him, the little six-year-old pushing a toy lawnmower. Today, I guess it would be the father is mowing the lawn and the six-year-old is on the porch doing his iPad, texting his buddies. Anyway, I've never forgotten the TV public service announcement back in the 70s where the father and son are out washing the car. Some of you may remember. And the little boy watches and imitates every action of his father with the hose and the sponge and the soap washing the car. And then they take a break from their work and the father sits down and lights up a cigarette. And out of the father's sight, the little boy is picking up that package of cigarettes and looking for a match, and the video comes to an end and there is no narration because the visual is the narration. Children learn what they live and see in the home. I know I'm a little over my time. I need another 2 or 3 minutes on a subject this important. You've heard this. If children live with criticism, they learn to condemn. If children live with hostility, they learn to fight. If children live with fear, they learn to be apprehensive. If children live with pity, they learn to feel sorry for themselves. If children live with ridicule, they learn to feel shy. If children live with jealousy, they learn how to feel envy. If children live with shame, they learn to feel guilty. If children live with encouragement, they learn confidence. If children live with tolerance, they learn patience. If children live with praise, they learn appreciation. If children live with acceptance, they learn to love. If children live with approval, they learn to like themselves. If children live with recognition, they learn it is good to have a goal. If children live with sharing, they learn generosity. If children live with honesty, they learn truthfulness. If children live with fairness, they learn justice. If children live with kindness and consideration, they learn respect. If children live with security, they learn to have faith in themselves and in those about them. If children live with friendliness, they learn the world is a nice place in which to live. What are your children learning from you? It is true for elders and teachers and preachers and for parents and all of us that speaking moral truth must be accompanied by living that truth in real life. Finally, parents, do some serious thought projection. What do you want to see in your children in 20 years? I'm not talking about career and salary and investments and good health and safety or geography. I know we want all that to be where it should be. Do you want your children to grow up to be faithful members of sound churches? Then what are you doing now? And what do you need to be doing now? And can you do better? Help your children with their homework. More importantly, help them with their Bible reading and study and their good work for the Lord. Teach them through your example of what it means to worship regularly, to be involved in the Lord's work, to pray, to resist the pressures of the world. You can't wait for this. You've got to start now. You don't want to be where some parents are regretting today that they didn't see to their children's spiritual training, and now they have nothing to do with the Lord's church and the Lord's work. If you don't want to be there, can you do better now? Let's be standing as we sing.